Hi, my name is Barry Manandi, and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
Z.
Nice, Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
It is ZFM Sport, my station, your station. Thursday evening. Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Zimbabwe's biggest sports show on the biggest radio station in the land. My name is Mike Madoda, and joining me is our producer, Sean Tafirenyika. Just a two-man team today. It's just Sean and I leading the line. Barry Manandi and Chris should be back on the show in the next coming days. We've got a great show we've got lined up for you. A lot of topical issues, a lot of issues of interest that a lot of you are talking about and no doubt are following. Not least of all, of course, that much awaited forensic report from ZIFA that was done by the SRC. Well, we can tell you that it's been officially released. Okay, and it exposes that there are hundreds of thousands in US dollars and millions in Zimbabwe dollars that are unaccounted for. We'll be taking a look at that report and also discussing some of the implications for Zimbabwe football moving forward. We also have international sports news for you, and we go stateside with an NBA report. Now, senior figures at the Golden State Warriors admit the team lacks grit and cohesion as the defending champions extended their record on the road this season to 8 straight losses after a 130-119 defeat to the Phoenix Suns early this morning. And no doubt, this performance by the Golden State Warriors, something that you've been keeping track of, Sean, and no doubt it will have surprised you.
Yeah, it's very surprising. I mean, these are the defending champions, and to have them go winless on the road so far in 8 straight games, that's a bit of a concern.
Okay, we'll be taking a look, of course, at the performances of the team, but also taking a look at the performances of Steph Curry, who's doing his best to carry the team, but on the road, it's with limited success. We'll also take you around the world in 60 with updates from Australia, England, as well as the United Arab Emirates. Quick breather with our play of the day, and then the second half of the show is the beautiful game. We'll give you an update on Cristiano Ronaldo, who has been trending over the last couple of days for all the wrong reasons, courtesy of that now infamous interview that he has given to Piers Morgan. Part one was last night, and part two is this evening. And Manchester United are saying that they'll have to wait until the full interview has been aired before deciding on his future. But there is a feeling within the club that this situation is far more serious than his previous misdemeanors. We'll continue with our FIFA World Cup preview. And today we'll take a look, of course, at Group G, which has got an African flavor with Cameroon in it, alongside Switzerland, Serbia, as well as five-time World Cup champions, Brazil. And then we'll take a look at the final group, which is Group H, which is expected to be one of the most exciting and competitive as Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay, and South Korea prepare to fight it out for 2 spots into the knockout stages.
ZFM Stereo is untouchable.
All right, we love to keep it interactive. We want to hear from you. Lots of topical issues that we are talking about on this evening's show. We are talking about that forensic report that's come out of the SRC as far as ZIFA finances are concerned. We're also going to be talking about the developments at Dynamos, the country's biggest and most successful team, Chazungus. They've got rid of their coach. They've got rid of their chairman. Where does the bloodbath end as far as the Glamour Boys are concerned? And, of course, we're going to be talking about the Cristiano Ronaldo Ronaldo's situation and an update on that interview that he gave Piers Morgan before we begin our build-up to the final two groups at the FIFA World Cup in Qatar. Which FIFA? An African flavor. Ghana is there. Cameroon is also there. Portugal is there. And we'll also, of course, be talking about the fortunes of five-time winners, Brazil. But before we get there, let's give you a local sports news roundup where golf, cricket and swimming make the news.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
All right, let's start with golf news, where Ryan Cairns consolidated his early lead at the ongoing Zimbabwe Professional Golfers Association Championship after following up his opening round of a 4-under par 68 with a 3-under par 69 at Royal Harare yesterday. So Cairns, a multiple Sunshine Tour winner, is still leading on 7-under par 137 in the $10,000 purse tournament, which will see the winner walking home with $1,485 richer. In cricket news, Northern's completed a comeback to be crowned the 2022-2023 Pro 50 Championship season champions after winning by 3 runs against Southerns at Queen's Sports Club in Blawa yesterday. After being tasked with batting first, Northerns put up 273 for 9 and managed to defend it, bowling out their opponents for 270 in 47.4 overs in what turned out to be a closely contested encounter. And finally, swimming, as the 16th FINA World Championships get closer, Zimbabwe's coach Masi Tagayeza says they would want their swimmers to post personal best times at the competition. The championships are due to take place from the 13th to the 18th of December in Australia, and Zimbabwe are fielding 4 swimmers, Liam Davis, Liam O'Hara, Nomvula Mjimba, and of course the sensational Donata Katai.
The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
Right, the day that many local football followers had been waiting for finally arrived, as the Sports and Recreation Commission, the SRC, officially released the long-awaited ZIFA forensic audit report, which exposed that there are hundreds of thousands in US dollars and millions in Zimbabwean dollars unaccounted for. Presenting the key findings of the audit report conducted by BDO Chartered Accountants, Sports and Recreation Commission Chairman Gerald Molochwa pointed out the financial irregularities, some of the hindrances that were encountered in compiling the report, as well as the upcoming steps in the path to clean up football. Let's hear from the SRC chairman.
The forensic audit covered the following areas: verify that all grants received from the government of Zimbabwe, COSAFA, CAF and FIFA were recorded in the financial records of ZIFA; ascertain whether the grants were utilized for the intended purposes; verify completeness of all other income received by ZIFA; verify expenditure incurred by ZIFA, ensuring that it is adequately supported and was for the benefit of the association. When you go through this report, you also find that there were instances where the auditors were not able to go further than ZIFA itself. Important in this respect was the obtaining of financial records, or let me say bank statements, from at least 2 financial institutions. Those institutions, the position that they took when they were approached was to the effect that they were not prepared to release those bank statements. The other hindrance they had, and I think this is a great weakness with ZIFA itself, was the lack of supporting documentation. A lot of the transactions that you'll see detailed in this report are not supported by any of the usual financial accounting records that one would expect to see in an organization, particularly in an organization like this that is not only getting funding from government itself, but also from FIFA, from CAF, COSAFA, etc., etc. One would expect that you'd find, you know, immaculate records that are easily accessible and easy to follow. That is not there. And the auditors also make their remarks insofar as that is concerned. And it's essentially to say part of that may well have been deliberate to mask fraudulent transactions or transactions that were not entirely for the benefit of the association itself. Key in that respect, and I'll highlight this example, because the example essentially embodies everything that I'm talking about, everything that is or was wrong with ZIFA insofar as financial management, accountability is concerned. And I'll just go to the relevant page, and I know this was a point of interest. So, you know, you have this aspect of, you know, unaccounted for grant income, for example. And I'll read the paragraph here. The grant of $182,700 United States dollars received on 20th December 2018 was omitted from the association's books of accounts for 2018. The grant was deposited into a FIFA-designated EcoBank account number. The account number is stated, which had been recently opened on 20th December 2018 by Mr. Kamambo, Mr. Machana, and Mr. Mamute, who were the signatories. According to the accountant, the new bank account had not been disclosed to the finance department by the end of the 2018 financial year, hence the omission of the grant from the financial statements. On 24th December 2018, an amount of $50,000 was transferred from the new bank account into the ZIFA general account number and accounted for as sponsorship income on posting to the ledger. We also noted three cash withdrawals of $10,000 each made in the name of Mr. Mamute from the EcoBank account on 21st December 2018, 24th December 2018, and 28th December 2018, respectively. We could not trace the cash withdrawals to the accounting records of ZIFA, and no supporting documents were availed to show how the funds were utilized. Any two of the signatories to the new EcoBank account could sign. However, we could not establish the two signatories for the cash withdrawals because of lack of supporting documents. The remaining bank balance of $102,000 after deducting $50,000, $30,000 and bank charges of $380, this is United States dollars, was reported as grant income in the 2019 financial statements. This bank account then became the main FIFA designated account in 2019, where most of the funds from FIFA were now being deposited. It should be noted that we were unable to confirm whether there were other ZIFA bank accounts which were opened and operated during the period under audit without the knowledge of the finance team. ZIFA should consider engaging the Reserve Bank so that it can compel all banks to disclose information of all bank accounts which were opened and operated during the period under audit. Essentially, I know it's quite technical what they're saying, but essentially they're saying that there's a balance of $102,000 that cannot actually be accounted for in the books of what? In the books of ZIFA, emanating from this so-called grant income. That's in summary what they're saying. So in short, outside of the roller tag amounts, you have got an amount of $617,000 United States dollars, which has no supporting documentation whatsoever, including the cash payments that we've highlighted. And then an additional amount of 73 million Zimbabwe dollars, also without any supporting documents as to what those payments were for, etc., etc. And again, I go back to, this is where the auditors faced constraint, particularly with the Zim dollar payments, to say, where were these payments going? From the bank account. Yes, the bank account shows this, but they don't show to whom those payments were being made. And that will be the subject of what? Of further investigation, apart from the other issues that have been highlighted in this report itself. Right? So, ladies and gentlemen, that essentially in summary form is the audit report. What I've avoided doing in making this presentation, and you'll see it for yourself in the report, because there are aspects where specific names, specific allegations are made. But the purpose of this press conference is not a witch hunt. It's not to point fingers at people. It is not to conduct a kangaroo court. It is just simply saying the audit report is here. We're making it available to yourselves. It is being made available to ZIFA. It is being made available to FIFA. And importantly, it is also being made available to the authorities. And I'm talking specifically here, the Zimbabwe Republic Police, the exchange control authorities, as well as the tax authorities. I'm talking about ZIMRA, to undertake the further investigations where certain information remains unclear. Will there be prosecutions? Let us see, let us leave that to those authorities that are mandated to make those decisions. What we do as SRC is we present the evidence and we say, take it from here. We are not the Attorney General's office. We are not the Zimbabwe Republic Police. We are not the Reserve Bank or Exchange Control Authorities, and we are certainly not tax authorities. Let's move away from the notion of thinking that everything that we're doing here is intended to ensure that FIFA lifts Zimbabwe's suspension. All right, that's not the intention. The intention is to fix football administration in Zimbabwe. That's the priority. That is SRC's stated priority. Let's fix the game. When we fixed it, then we'll go to FIFA and say, look, we're happy. We've done what it is that we think needed to be done. You may not agree with us, but that is what we've done. And can we now start talking about what? The lifting of the suspension, etc., etc. Let's not be beholden to FIFA at this point in time. If we do that, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, if we do that, the game in this country will never, ever improve.
See. That's the SRC chairman, Gerald Molochwa, presenting some of the key findings from that forensic report. That was an audit report conducted by BDO Chartered Accountants into the financial affairs of the Zimbabwe Football Association, ZIFA. Sean, you attended the press conference, and of course, no doubt you've been able to peruse these findings quite thoroughly. And yes, he does, of course, highlight some of the financial irregularities, but one of the things that he also does mention is the fact that this report was compiled without full information. They didn't have access to all the information. I think banks and the financial institutions gave them the runaround. So we must acknowledge beforehand that whilst there are some interesting revelations, this report is premised on incomplete information.
Exactly, because to get that information is private and confidential. You need a search warrant or you need a court order. And I don't think that... They didn't have that. So because of that, they can only compile these findings, but they feel that they have enough to submit to the authorities, the relevant authorities, like you mentioned, and they can now be able to conduct a full investigation. And from the implication was that they are pretty optimistic that
They've got a tight case.
That
they can nail Felton Kamambo.
Exactly.
And of course, his cohorts at ZIFA who are accused of misappropriating the hundreds of thousands in US dollars as well as the millions of dollars in RTGS,
Mike,
that have been found missing at ZIFA.
I've heard rumblings though.
Uh-huh.
With the other money though, the money from FIFA, this is for ZIFA to use that at their own discretion. How privy are they to be sharing these kind of records? Because this is not government money.
And that's the point. And I think we've made this previous point, Sean, in previous discussions with Alois and with Barry, as well as Chris here in the studio, that you know what? I think they can only hold ZIFA's feet to the fire as far as the funds that came from government and from them are concerned,
exactly,
or from the Minister of Sport are concerned. But as far as funding that came from FIFA is concerned, they do not have any jurisdiction, just to borrow a popular legal term there. So it's going to be very difficult for them to compel ZIFA to hand over documents and to hand over whatever information they are seeking as far as the usage of FIFA funds are concerned. And FIFA themselves will tell the SRC that, you know what, that is not your jurisdiction. We account for our own money.
Exactly.
We will, of course, put forth our own investigative processes and use those to prosecute the administration in Zimbabwe should we find it necessary.
Yeah, I mean, and what I'm fearing now is that looking at that entire process and all the steps that the SRC keep outlining that they're going to do this and do that to clean up the game, and then we can start talking about the FIFA suspension. When I probed them in terms of timelines, they were not very clear, and that is my main cause of concern, that I have no idea.
I think he's actually quite clear. He comes out to the end there and he says that if you guys are thinking that this is about the lifting of the suspension, this is not about it. This is about trying to clean Zimbabwe football, trying to fix Zimbabwe football. So right now, it looks like for me, it's an open calendar. It could be 2 months. It could be 6 months. It could be 18 months. It could be 3 years. It could be 6 years. Yeah. It seems that they are focusing on trying to fix Zimbabwe football. However, I feel like, Sean, that they're ignoring precedent. Precedent the world over. Okay. Precedent on the continent on how similar situations have unfolded or have been handled by FIFA. If you're talking about fixing football, there must also be the realization that the custodians of football the world over is FIFA. So we cannot ignore what's coming out of Zurich. We cannot ignore what's coming out of Switzerland. So the demands that FIFA is putting on our local game, is putting on the SRC, is putting on ZIFA, must be taken into consideration. We can't talk about, we can't be beholden unto FIFA. Well, I'm sorry, Gerald Mlotsho. We have to be beholden to FIFA to a certain extent. Yes, we cannot give up our sovereignty and let the nation be governed from Zurich or from Switzerland. But as far as the game is concerned, it's important that if we are affiliates of FIFA, that we must play by FIFA rules. And that is just a simple thing. So I'm a bit concerned. And it looks like, Sean, that, listen, the nation that we were suspended with, Kenya.
Yes.
They seem to have come to the conclusion that, you know what, we may be swimming around in the muck here and not heading anywhere.
Yeah, they've written to FIFA and said that they reinstated the positions of the previous administrators who were in office. And of course, it was the same, similar allegations, misappropriation of funds. Exactly. So they've given up the fight. They've said, we've put everything back that you asked for, FIFA. We've met all your requirements. Please lift the suspension, and no doubt that
is that a recommendation you'd give to say, guys, you know what, this looks like a fight that we may not be able to win. It's nothing but pride here that's keeping us in the fight. Let's give up the ghost. Let's just realign ourselves with FIFA and see how football can fix itself.
Because what I don't understand is that these two things can happen at the same time. I think we can fix our football even if we are back under the auspices of FIFA. But with the way that they are speaking, it's no, let's clean everything up first, and then we talk to FIFA and have our suspension lifted. And I feel we can do both, and we should be aiming to do both, because we are losing a generation of talent. No international competitions, nothing at the moment that is happening, and we're just going around and around in circles. And all of this, it may amount to nothing, where after all of this is done, FIFA will still say, no, we said bring back the Kamambo-led executive committee.
Well, what do you think? Get in touch with us. Have your say your way. 0731 168 045. Already the messages are starting to come in. People with your thoughts on that situation, which is pitted the SRC versus ZIFA. And when I talk about ZIFA, I'm talking about Felton Kamambo, and as well as, of course, Machana, who are suspended. The likes of Malandule also suspended. But FIFA is backing them and saying that, you know what, reinstate them if Zimbabwe is to be allowed back into the football family. 0731 168 045. Let's read the messages as they come in. This one says, hi guys, from what I hear from the SRC chairman, sounds like the report is a high sounding nothing, to borrow from Shakespeare. Regards, Nyati. Listen, I just try and look at all this and think to myself that in one sentence, Sean, you are saying that you're going to send this report to FIFA. In the next breath, you're saying that let's not be beholden unto FIFA. We got to choose here and pick whether FIFA is important or not.
Exactly. And He kept on mentioning, and that is the chairman, Gerard Mulotwa, that they are in no rush. But like you're saying, but we are still saying we are updating FIFA each and every step of the way. So all of this has the aim of us being the suspicion being lifted, and I don't understand why the issues are being looked at separately when it's all connected, it's all joined together.
Tawanda Matara from Eastview, good evening to you. Thank you so much for tuning in to ZFM Stereo and ZFM Sport. You say the fight between the Sports and Recreation Commission and ZIFA is now turning into the rumble in the jungle, but with FIFA's backing, Kamambo is going to be victorious. It the end, and you kind of like know what or appreciate what the SRC is trying to do to clean up the game, because at the end of the day, who doesn't want the game to be cleaned up? Who doesn't want the game to be fixed? Who doesn't want better structures, better systems put in place? And a lot of people appreciate that. But you also then get sure, just at the back of your mind, that lingering feeling that, you know what, ultimately, what FIFA wants, they always get, and it will be so in this situation.
Yeah, the specifications were clearly laid out in black and white on paper, what we are supposed to do. And as long as we don't do that, I hate to say this, but it seems that all of this may not count for much at the end.
Right, Hansi, the auditors did a good job, and it's now up to the Anti-Corruption Commission, the ZRP, the Office of the Prosecutor General, those are guys that, to be honest, if the evidence is presented before them, they're going to have to pull finger, institute investigations, and try and see, of course, if there's criminal liability. Goes on to say, why are two people holding the sport at ransom? Kamambo is a selfish individual. If he cares about the youthful footballers, he should just throw in the towel and let football flourish again. After all, what does he stand to gain from fighting with the Sports and Recreation Commission? Kamambo remains a Zimbabwean after FIFA and ZIFA.
No, Kamambo has clearly showed that he doesn't care, because this has been going on for a full year now, and he doesn't seem to have come to the table to actually want to throw in the towel. So as it stands, he's literally just hiding behind FIFA, and that's why we're in this impasse, so to say.
All right, let's just read one more message here before we get into the Dynamo story, and it's from the landlord. He says, already, if we go to the streets, a lot of children no longer want to play football in Zimbabwe because of how the game is run.
Hi, my name is Runi Shamba, my Toria's super striker. You're listening to ZFM Sports.
From Rufaro to Barberfield, Mandava to Nyamunga, all the perfect moments in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League come together on ZFM Sport.
Right, a quick update about Dynamos, and of course their coach Tondelai Ndirai has broken his silence on the decision taken by the club to not renew his contract when it expires next month. And Ndirai, speaking through his manager Gerald Maguranyanga, blamed the suspension imposed on him by the Dynamos executive in May for the trophyless season endured in the blue half of the capital. In a statement he released to the press, it reads, for the record, Mr. Ndirai officially assumed his football leadership role at the club in 2019 in the month of May. Due to COVID-19, the PSL League for 2020 was cancelled. Only the Chibuku Super Cup was competed for in 2021. 2022 was Mr. Ndiraya's supposed full season in charge. Sadly, the same 2022 season was hampered by an untimely mid-season suspension, which ill-timed suspension created intolerable anxiety amongst the players and the coaching staff at the club. Mr. Ndiraya endured the unfortunate suspension when the club was sitting pretty on top of the PSL log. Naturally, such unsettling action affected the team's subsequent performances. Whilst the final position 3 of 18 achieved by Dynamos on the PSL log was not glorious, it is also not abject failure considering the prevailing difficult conditions of service at Dynamos Football Club. You agree with that? We touched on it yesterday, Sean. The suspension mid-season, Dynamos going great guns. Yes, the football was not easy on the eye. It was not entertaining. But at that stage of the season, it looked like Ndiraya had his ish together.
Exactly, because they were top of the log. at the point of the suspension, and it's not rumblings we're actually hearing from the executive that the football is not pleasing on the eye. It's rumblings that we were hearing from the fans. So holistically, if you look at this in retrospect, suspending a coach at that point of the season was a mistake, and especially when they haven't clearly articulated what he did, and
the fact that they reinstated him.
Yes, and then they reinstated him. And some people are saying maybe there was no one in the market
interested in the job.
But who's in the market right now? Who's interested in the job?
And then finally, Sean, Dynamo's finishing third. Did they underachieve? Is that a disaster for you? Or something they can build on?
It's not a disaster. I think they fell short, but it's something that they could have built on. But now they are resetting with a new coach and new expectations next season. So we'll have to see how that will go.
The hits live here.
But I can't help myself.
International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play. Whether it's the NBA or NFL, the best of America on ZFM Sport.
Right, let's switch it up a bit from the local as well as the football to stateside and basketball, where the Golden State Warriors admit the team lacks grit and cohesion as the NBA defending champions extended their record on the road this season to 8 straight losses after a 130-19 defeat to the Phoenix Suns early this morning. Steph Curry says he needs to be a better leader in a team that is struggling to play as a unit.
Yeah, we need to figure out what it's going to take to win and what everybody needs to do differently, more consistently, the level of focus and intensity that will hopefully, you know, prove to show and wins, no matter what the stat sheet looks like, no matter how we get it done, because nobody likes this feeling at all. And forget the road record. It's just you can't find a sustainable period of success where habits start to form, and you know, we're in a position where we're coming off the court feeling good about ourselves. You know, we're still searching and chasing a little bit.
It's funny, you know what, that we're hearing Steph that he is taking more responsibility for those defeats. But if you take a look at his personal performances, my goodness, this guy, he dropped 50 points just last night in that defeat. And he's regularly scored north of 40 and is averaging, I think, early 30s. I think he's the second highest scorer in the league, the second highest average scorer as well in the league. So his personal output has been very high. But the team just isn't firing. And where's it gone wrong, Sean?
I think right now it's a disconnection between the starting five and what's coming from the bench. And this has also been affected by the run of results, because you take a look at that second unit, which has a ton of talent. If you look at players like such as Jordan Poole and Dante DiVincenzo. But the problem is, do you keep playing them when the team is losing? And I think now they are having the first unit stay on longer because the results aren't going their way, especially on the road. And now there's a disconnect.
They're trying to find winning combinations.
Exactly.
But let's talk about the defensive output as well, Sean, because the Golden State Warriors, for all the attacking flair, we talk about Steph Curry, perhaps the best shooter that the game has ever seen. And in my mind, certainly the best shooter the game has ever seen. Klay Thompson and players like that. Poole, who you talked about, great offensively. But they've always been respected for their defensive efforts. Not so this season.
Yeah, not so this season. I mean, they were ranking second last season in terms of defensive
efficiency.
That's
in the entire league.
In the entire league. And then this season, 27th in the entire NBA. That just shows you that they've fallen way, way short. They are allowing nearly 13 points more per game. And this is something that Steve Kerr has suggested, that some of the struggles are down to effort levels. But it's the effort level also has to to do with, are you engaged? Are you in the game? And when you're not coming on for minutes, when you're still trying to find that balance between this first unit and the second unit, I think you start to have these problems that creep up.
Right. Let's take a look at the Western Conference, which is the conference that the Golden State Warriors find themselves in. Well, they are not even in the top 10. At the very top, Portland Trail Blazers. My goodness, they're having a wonderful start to their NBA season. They lead the Phoenix Suns, the Denver Nuggets, the Utah Jazz, and the New Orleans Pelicans, who are in fifth place. I was going to say Barry. I'm so used to doing this with Barry. But Sean, have the Trailblazers surprised you?
They have surprised me quite a bit, because I never thought that they'll be in this position. And I think they've found a balance. We were saying that the balance between the first unit and the second unit, and with Damian Lillard finding
the Dame,
Jeremy Grant, who you think is an unknown, he's not even an all-star, but he has come up big this season as a big, playing center and averaging about 26 points per game. He's definitely contributing to Damian Lillard, who now is running the floor and has options all over the park. And we know that the Dame can shoot lights out.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a look at the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics, they lead the way. They've got the best record in the NBA at the moment. 12 wins and just 3 defeats. So the Milwaukee Bucks, the former champions, have got 11 wins and 3 defeats. They are in second. The Atlanta Hawks are in third. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they are in fourth, and the Toronto Raptors are in fifth. Your upcoming key games: Portland Trail Blazers versus the Brooklyn Nets should be a good game, that one. Washington Wizards versus the Miami Heat. Philadelphia 76ers versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Dallas Mavericks versus the Denver Nuggets. And the Golden State Warriors will be at home. They'll be taking on the New York Knicks.
So that means that they should win this one.
They should win it.
Hi, my name is Luke Bamute, Los Angeles Clippers small forward, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
All right, let's take you around the world in 60, starting in Australia, where Australia cantered to a 6-wicket victory over England in the opening one-day international in Adelaide, chasing 288 to win. David Warner's 86, Travis Head's 69, and Steve Smith's 80 not out. So the hosts are home with 19 balls left. England made 287 for 9 in their 50 overs, with David Malan's 134 off 128 balls, anchoring the innings as they recovered from 31-4-3 and 118-4-5. In England, Owen Farrell will earn his 100th cap for England on Saturday when he leads the team against New Zealand. Farrell will be joined by England's midfield by returning Manu Tuilagi, who started on the bench against Japan in the order for his game to be managed. Now, Marcus Smith remains at fly half, with Jack Van Potterveld alongside him at scrum half, and Ben Youngs is named on the bench. And the news coming from the United Arab Emirates: Nico Hülkenberg will replace Mick Schumacher at Haas for the 2023 Formula One season. Haas's decision brings to an end Schumacher's 2-year spell in the sport, with fellow German Hülkenberg signing completing the grid for next season. And to think, Mike, that Mick Schumacher is not going to have a seat.
Yeah, that's. But it just shows you that at some point you can't ride on a great name. You've got to put in performances. He's very promising, but they're just better and more experienced drivers available out there.
Do not touch my radio.
Hey, this is Cover Drive.
Hits now. See.
Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
Right, the messages have been coming in, and of course a lot of people with your thoughts on that report, the forensic audit report that was released today by the SRC. And we're just going to read your messages here very quickly, because we've got the beautiful game to get through. Hi guys, these FIFA guys might have benefited from these funds, that's why they will throw this report out. And again, I'll go back to the fact that, Sean, you know what, this really is chump change when it comes to FIFA. And I think people need to understand the magnitude of the FIFA funds that the likes of Infantino are dealing with and the pots that they chow out of. We're not talking about a couple of million, guys. Yeah. This World Cup alone, for example, in Qatar, is set to earn FIFA $12 billion over the course of just 6 weeks.
Yeah.
No matter what you're talking about. When you talk about 500,000 and 1.2 million, it's a good to Zimbabwe.
And all they need from Zimbabwe is our vote, that's one vote. And so when this report reaches their desk, it'll just probably just pile up in dust.
Anzi koka mambo netim vakadzoka mosha zodi. That is Duve out in Mangora. Very good question, of course, that if they are accused and if they are found to have, you know what, criminal liability, and then if they have to be put back in office again, does it not make it doubly difficult then to prosecute these guys or to get rid of them from our football? Another message here says, I think the SRC are doing a good job. Well done to Gerald Molochwa. Let's send a message to all other sporting discipline administrators. And of course, that's that you can't just, you know what, do what you want without being held accountable. And then more and more messages here. Armstrong, Pamay Bahrain says, good evening team, the SRC is very excellent, but it was very appreciable to fix our football while we align with FIFA, which is a point that you brought up, Sean, because we're going to take 2 to 3 years to fix our football, and that will be penalising the Kamambo late team. Then FIFA comes back to say we want Kamambo first in the office. It'll be difficult to convince Kamambo after we convict or harass him of which FIFA wants him. I think it's good to prioritise FIFA, then our own football second, so that whatever steps we are taking will be in line with the football mother body. Another message here. Do the anti-money laundering regulations apply to such institutions as FIFA? The sovereignty and rule of law in Zim apply to FIFA? Is football exempt from legality, meaning only FIFA can determine criminality in football wherever? Football above law. Well, I don't think FIFA says that they are the only ones who can determine criminality in football, but they say that they are the only ones who can hold people accountable for their own resources.
For their funds, yes.
Yeah, for their funds.
They'll send their own audit teams. They'll go through their internal processes,
yes,
not external ones.
Yeah, because Varuguti Mariru Vakwatiri Isusu and Zifa is an affiliate, so we work according to the FIFA constitution and the rules that govern the affiliation of the Football Association to FIFA, as of course the organization that's providing oversight over football internationally. When we come back, we'll be giving you the beautiful game, quick update on Ronaldo, and then of course we talk Group G and H at the FIFA World Cup.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The big leagues. The big teams. The big players. The beautiful game on ZFM Sport.
Well, let's give you an update, of course, on that trending story, Cristiano Ronaldo in the headlines. And we can tell you, of course, that there have been developments. And according to sources, Manchester United say that they'll wait until the full interview has been aired before deciding on his future. But there's a feeling within the club that this situation is far more serious than his previous misdemeanor. Sources say that United are exploring ways of sacking Ronaldo after the first clips emerged of his explosive sit-down with Piers Morgan. Part one was last night, Sean. Part two is tonight. So after tonight, the full interview would have aired, and we expect, of course, Manchester United to move rather swiftly after the interview has been fully aired.
No. Their position right now between the two parties has become untenable, because if you look at what Cristiano has done and disrespected the entire institution, for him to remain, it will set a wrong precedence for other players. So they have to get rid of him, but I think that's going to be the challenge. How they're going to get rid of him, and where is he going to go, and who will want him?
Well, let's talk about the complicity of Piers Morgan in this, because having watched the interview, the first part, I thought to myself, and I'm thinking, you know what, the leading questions that Piers was asking, I was thinking to myself, can Ronaldo not see that this guy is using him?
Yeah, for his own fame.
Is using him. And for me, that's a worry. because it's quite clearly evident to anyone who's watched that was not a journalistic interview. That was about Piers Morgan trying to get controversial sound bites. And that's why, if you watched it, all the questions were leading.
Yeah. Where you do you feel betrayed by
Manchester? Yes, do you feel betrayed?
Of course, he's going to say yes.
You know, so for me, hey, you know what? Let's talk about this after the entire interview has been completed. Right now, let's go to the World Cup.
Jogo Bonito, Tiki Taka, Total Football. It's a football celebration where only the best are invited. Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, Benzema. The stars come out to play on your Qatar 2022 World Cup update on ZFM Sport.
Group G has got the record five-time holders, Brazil. They are in that group. They boast the talents of Neymar as their key player. In their group will be Serbia, and they've got that wily old fox schema in midfield, Dusan Tadic, who plays for Ajax Amsterdam, as a key player to watch. The Swiss are in that group as well. Granit Xhaka has been having a phenomenal season at Arsenal, and he'll be expected to show up things in central midfield. And then Cameroon complete that group, and their key player is Vincent Aboubakar. Interesting group, that one. You do suspect, Sean, that Brazil, I think, have got just too much quality for that group and should be able to progress without much hindrance from that group.
Yeah, exactly, because if you take a look at the Serbia, Switzerland, and Cameroon, Brazil are clearly more talented, and they haven't won the World Cup since 2002.
So they've got plenty of motivation.
They've got plenty of motivation. I think Chicha is the first coach to go to two consecutive World Cup without bringing the trophy home, so there's also pressure on him, and it's all about who's going to snab that second spot, because Serbia, Switzerland, and Cameroon are all evenly poised.
It's like I was going to ask that and say, you know what, if you had asked for two European nations in your group as an African nation and you saw Serbia and Switzerland, I think you'd be able to say, I can live with that. I can live, because it could have been worse. You could have got a Portugal, you could have got a Holland, you could have got an England, a France. But these are two nations which the African nations, like Cameroon, for example, will be looking at and saying that, you know what, if we play well, we can get a result here. Because just like earlier today, Ghana beat Switzerland 2-0.
Yeah, that shows that they can be beatable. So then how far can Cameroon go?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't have faith in Cameroon. I think they will be competitive. I don't think they're going to be blown away. But as to whether they can proceed to the knockout stages, I don't think they've got sufficient quality. Let's move on to Group H. And Group H is a very interesting one. Group H has got Portugal, key player Cristiano Ronaldo, the man we are all talking about. Ghana, who of course will have the likes of André Ayew. Uruguay, Federico Valverde, Luis Suarez, Edinson Cavani. They got so many players. Darwin Nunes, world-class quality. And South Korea, of course, will have Son Heung-min, who we know for his goal-scoring exploits at Tottenham Hotspur. That one, it's a tough group, Sean.
It's a very tough group, but for me, I'll definitely think Portugal will make it out, and then I think the battle again, similar to Group G, it will be between Ghana, Uruguay, and South Korea.
I think Uruguay will be looking at Portugal and thinking, we can have them. We can have them. Because if you take a look at the talent that they have, Sean, I mean, let's take a look at
with
Uruguay.
Frankie.
For me, they are the dark horse. Because if you take a look at they got a nice balance between emerging talent and then experienced guys who've been at this stage and done it before. So players like Fernando Muslera, who's in goal, experienced keeper, Diego Godin, the likes of Martin Caceres, the likes of Luis Suarez, Edinson Cavani, and then they got the new generation of Ronald Araujo, Barcelona, Federico Valverde, possibly Real Madrid's most important player at the moment, Darwin Nunes, Facundo Torres, Facundo Pellistri.
The experienced head that you mentioned are aging, Mike. And that is my main
people
concern.
People will tell you
him.
That Ronaldo is aging.
But I actually don't think he's the key player in that team. I know we listed him. But I actually think the man
where will the goals come from? If Ronaldo doesn't fire for Portugal, where do the goals come from? They've got to play him, surely.
Yeah, they have to play him.
Diogo Jota is injured. Another regular supply of goals.
I'm thinking João Felix has to step up for Portugal in this one. And Bruno Fernandes as well, the goals are going to have to come
from
him.
If you have to pick who scores more goals, Darwin Nunes and João Félix, who do you
think? Yeah, no, it's definitely Darwin Nunes.
So that's what I'm saying. You know what? Uruguay will be taking a look at their game versus Portugal, and I don't think they're going to be intimidated.
Yeah.
I think they'll think, you know what? We can go and match Portugal pound for pound, and we can possibly get a result here. You know, that's the beautiful thing about football. Always opinionated, always different views. And guess what? Tomorrow, we do this again as we build up and present to you a World Cup special before the opening round of matches and the opening game, which, of course, will be played on Sunday. It's been a great one, Sean. Great doing this with you.
Yeah, we'll be back again tomorrow to do it all over again.
6:05. Play it safe. Keep it clean. Until tomorrow.
It's Messi. It is the cleanest of clean finishes from the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Mundell, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are Z Team on ZFM Sport.
Z.